السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over the receivers, over the past 3 or 4 weeks or a little more, we have been discussing the verses of Surah Mu'minun, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving us the qualities of those believers whom Allah Ta'ala declares have attained success. There are different attributes and different qualities that believers have, but some of them Allah Ta'ala mentions in the verses that we have been discussing. For example, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala say that they are those who are humble in their prayers, that they've got khushu, they've got concentration in their prayers. They don't have movement whilst they are making salat. Their minds are at ease, their body is at ease. It's not like a rush kind of salat that they make, that you carry on, I'm coming kind of salat. There is khushu in the salat. Then when it comes to those deeds, those actions, those words, those statements which are futile, useless, then they shun them altogether. They turn away from it. They distance themselves from it. A believer does not engage in those actions and deeds or statements or words or speeches which are absolutely useless and futile. Yes, if they are beneficial for the person's worldly needs and requirements, or it is cheerful talk with one's wife, children, friends, there is some purpose behind it, then it is acceptable. But those things which are absolutely futile and useless, passing the time in such kinds of activities which are not going to benefit the person in this world or the hereafter, the believer distances himself from such kind of futile activities. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says they give their zakat or they purify their souls, both meanings. They purify their souls from all the evil that enters the soul, whether it is through the ears, through the eyes, through the tongue, through the mouth, or through his whatever senses, the person begins to enjoy haram in his heart. So this person who is a believer in Allah Ta'ala, he purifies his soul from such kind of evils. And also his heart, if it has got malice, greed, if it has got pride, if this heart has got envy and jealousy, then that person is not a true believer if he keeps all that stock in his heart. He purifies his heart from such kind of evils. We have discussed this at length over the past few Jumas. Then we came on to zina, that the believer is one who safeguards his private parts. He does not engage in any kind of sexual sin, whether it is adultery or whether it is fornication. And also extending the meaning, the person does not engage in any kind of zina, whether it is zina of the eyes, zina of the ears, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, that the eyes commit zina, looking at haram. The ears commit zina, listening to haram. The tongues commit zina, speaking haram. The person's body, every part of it, the hands can commit zina, touching. The feet commit zina by going to those places. And then the person actually commits the adultery or fornication, or he stays away from the final action. But all these parts have already committed the zina. So that person is not a true believer then, if he has got this trait in him, that he goes towards zina. And I have been emphasizing this point over the past 2-3 Jumas, when we were discussing zina, that the harms that it causes, but because it is a different audience today, just to touch on one or two things, that the harms that it causes, besides those harms which are now so apparent and so clear, and which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted and foretold more than 1400 years ago, that such sicknesses will become rife in that community in which zina becomes apparent and commonly indulged in, that their forefathers also never heard of such sicknesses and diseases. Today they tell us about AIDS and they tell us about so many other sexually transmitted diseases. Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned us of this more than 1400 years ago, that when the community will begin to commit zina, and when it becomes like a norm in society, when it will not be even considered as some kind of evil. Today if a person is watching zina on the television screen, if somebody has to tell him about that, then he's a stupid person. He's an orthodox, he's living in the camel age. These are modern days and modern times. So now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that this zina, when it will become rife, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will get that community caught up in such diseases and sicknesses that their forefathers never even heard of. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warned that when zina will become rife in the community, then the barakat of the risk and sustenance will go away. I have explained this at length, that take large empires, how they collapsed. When zina became rife, when nothing but adultery and fornication became the norm of the day, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala caused those massive empires to collapse. Then what about small businesses? And what about small merchants? Or what about our large merchants? Take the history of many merchants throughout the world. Many of them, I'm talking about Muslims. Don't look at that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives to the Jews and the Christians and the Yahud and the Nasara and the Mushrikeen. Allah Ta'ala gives wealth either out of His happiness or as a catch and a trap. Wealth in itself is not bad at all. We require wealth to make umrahs, to make hajj, to give to the poor and needy, to build masjids and madrasas. We need wealth. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives wealth sometimes out of His happiness, and sometimes He gives it as a trap and as an azab. If that person is indulging in zina and all the other sins, and if he's got plenty of wealth also, then that is an azab from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is like how you feed a rat also with a good piece of cheese, and you feed a pigeon also, and your budgie also. But it doesn't mean that you are feeding that rat because you have got great love for that rat. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informing us that when zina will become rife, then Allah Ta'ala will take away the barakat of that risk and sustenance. The person may earn plentiful, but there's no barakat. I'm repeating some of the things that I have mentioned, that the barakat will go away. The person will say that I earn so much, but I don't see anything. I don't know where my money goes. The person can be earning 50,000 a month, it's too little. If he's earning 100,000 a month, it's too little. And if he's got a big package of 500,000, it's too little. The person says he just cannot seem to make ends meet. Or there'll be no rest, no peace, no satisfaction, no contentment. Allah Ta'ala takes away that barakat. And then as far as Muslims are concerned, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then warns that this will bring about a collapse. And we have noticed that in how many people's lives, that they were progressing, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was giving them plentiful. But when their children began to indulge in zina because plenty of money came, when the managers began to indulge in zina, when the directors began to indulge in zina, when the staff also began to indulge in zina, then where will be the barakat in that business? Then collapse comes about of those businesses in different forms. These are warnings of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam warns that there will be large scale deaths, there will be massacres after that. Large scale deaths. Of course, many people will become shaheed by means of those deaths. That is a different issue. But we will not hear of one or two dying here, one or two dying there. Then we will hear of hundreds, thousands, or one earthquake taking away 50,000 and 100,000 or plenty. There will be large-scale deaths. And so many other warnings that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave. There will be murders, there will be killings, plentiful. Now we are witnessing all that with our eyes. We are reading of it in the newspapers. And those who watch the television, they know better than myself. But yet we do not seem to take a lesson. And we think that there's enjoyment and there's pleasure in committing zina. So when there's so much of attraction towards zina, when everything is inviting our youth and our young people towards zina, then at such a time, what is the solution to that problem? We can offer a lot of solutions. But the solution that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam offers is the best of all solutions. And he is saying that, oh, you young people, if you've got the ability to marry, then you should get married. And then what they should do after marriage also is important. Not that you get married and after 2 months now you are tired of that wife, so now again the person is back in those prostitute quarters. Or again he is back in those same filthy dens. Then he has to run from those places. He must think that those places are like a poisonous snake that is coming towards them. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ Run towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So if they've got the ability to marry, then they should get married. Now on the one hand, we are keeping our youth away from marriage. One sahabi of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, two of his wives pass away in plague. And he was also very sick. But he's saying, get me married quickly. So they asked, why do you want to get married so quickly? He says, I would not like to meet my Allah in a state that I am single. My Allah would like to see me as a married person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he reprimanded Hazrat Uqaf radiallahu ta'ala an. When Hazrat Uqaf radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him, yes, he has the ability to marry, he says, then why don't you get married? It's a lengthy hadith, I'm not going into details. Another sahabi also, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told him, he said that that person is miskeen, miskeen, miskeen. 3 times he used the word miskeen. Very poor, very, very poor. Very pitiable state that person is in. So anyone would have expected that who that person is, the person who doesn't have wealth, or he doesn't have a home, or he doesn't have some kind of food to sustain himself. That's what was expected. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that that person who has got no wife, he is a miskeen, very poor person, pitiable condition he is in. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, even if he has plenty of wealth, that means he's not miskeen because there's no wealth. He says, even if he has plenty of wealth. And then he said, miskeena, miskeena, miskeena. That woman is also a miskeena, very poor. She's in a very pitiable state. You must sympathize with her. Which woman? The woman who does not have a husband. She's not married. And then again he said, even if she has plenty of wealth. But of course we must not run to conclusions. There are many young girls who want to get married. But the list, the shopping list that the prospective grooms are looking for, the type of face and the type of noses and eyes, and the type of bank balances, and the type of family status and position. Now they don't find that. So they don't marry these girls. So if they want to get married, and they are prepared to accept the right proposal if it comes, then of course they are excused. Or in the same way that young person who has the ability and he is in search of a good wife, but everywhere he goes, he is refused for reasons beyond his control. Then he is excused. I'm not talking about such type of people. Must always understand the hadiths in its proper context. Or a person has got a genuine reason. There were some great buzrugs and akabir also who didn't get married, but they had some very valid reason for that. Or if there is a person but he's so short-tempered, he's such temperamental person, he knows that if I get married every day, my wife will be catching a few slaps and a few kicks. Or she will be taking my swearing day and night. Then at such a time, it's better that such a person doesn't marry. First he must make islah of his anger, then he must get married. Even if that person is an alim, is a mufti, or is a qari sahab, or a hafiz sahab, or is a haji sahab, or is doing the work of dawat and tabligh, or he goes to khanqas and majlises of zikr, or sits by the mashayikh, then too, if he's a very moody person, temperamental person, and a very hot-headed person, then don't just look at his namaz and give your daughter. Just as in other matters we check, in the same way in this issue also we must check. If that person has got a good temper, then inshallah the other things also will come right. Because most of the marriages which are ending in disaster today is because the person has got short fuse. It snaps every little while. And then in the heat of that anger, the person just fires away the bullets of talaq. And after he has given 3 talaqs, then he runs around searching for some mufti or maulvi to give him a fatwa that no, 3 talaqs mean 1. Why don't we do that also when it comes to 3,000 rand? If I pay 1,000, say, well, it's acceptable because 3,000, 3 is 1, 1 is 3. So there we don't accept. And there the person is clearly saying, I'm giving you 3 talaqs. Or I'm giving you talaq, I'm giving you talaq, I'm giving you talaq. And it's not an emphasis on the first one. It's 3 talaqs. So how can the 3 then become 1? Besides all the other proofs and all the dalils of fiqh. But if somebody comes and says, I'm owing you 3,000, you accept normally that 3 talaq is 1 talaq. So let me give you 1,000 rand and accept it as 3. So this is something that happens in anger. The person is firing away the bullets of talaq. So anger is a very dangerous thing. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ahadith, if we have to look at, there's so much of encouragement to the young person to get married. Rasulullah s.a.w. is reported to have said, talking, continuing on that same subject, it happens to be linked with marriage also, what we were discussing about zina. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if a person has got love in his heart for some woman, but he does not give expression to that love because it is haram love. It happens sometimes that the person just happened to see some woman in his family. One is on the streets, the person doesn't know who went past. But in the family, sometimes there is a woman, the person knows that she is my cousin or she is somebody that I can marry. And he's got great love in his heart. But he knows that he cannot marry her for whatever reason it may be, or she could be a married woman. So now this person is concealing that love. It is hurting him. It is carrying the pain in his heart. But the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not giving him the opportunity to express that love. He is restraining himself. If he has to die in that condition, he will be a shaheed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, he got shahadat. Now here is a person who had love, but he had concealed it. And the pain of that love he took in his heart and went away to the grave. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, he is a shaheed. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave me 5 nasihats. He said, أَجَّلُوا بِالصَّلَاةِ قَبْلَ الْفَوْتِ. Hasten with your salat before it becomes qaza. Before the namaz time goes, make your salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you think Hazrat Ali was going to make namazes qaza for nothing. It's for us that we are sometimes fulfilling the sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which is nikah. But then go and have a look at how many people's farz is made qaza. In the name of nikah, which is sunnat, go and have a look at the city halls and all the other halls where our sisters are invited to come and attend these nikah feasts and parties. How many people's namazes we make qaza. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that أَجَّلُوا بِالصَّلَاةِ قَبْلَ الْفَوْتِ. Make that salat quickly before the time expires. And we say that no, it doesn't really bother us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, if a person's house has to burn down, and in that house his family is also there, his children, his wife, and all his belongings, if everything burns down, how much of pain it will cause a person. What a great loss and suffering it is for a person if the person loses his house, his family, and all his belongings. He says, that person has suffered a greater loss whose one namaz becomes qaza. Just one namaz becomes qaza without any valid reason. He has suffered a greater loss. Will we believe the words of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or will we believe our own intelligence? We say that no, so many namazes I made qaza, I didn't suffer any loss. So then we must understand that this is that rope that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ramatullah Alayhi, read his books, what does he say? He says such type of people, don't even bury them in the Muslim graveyard. He says that, read it. Those who make qaza of their namazes, those who miss their salats without any valid reason. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Hazrat Ali says that this was one of the nasihat that he made. Then my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَعَجِّلُوا بِالتَّوْبَةِ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ. And hasten towards tawbah before your death comes. If you are indulging in sins, then don't remain in that state of sins. It is a filthy, dirty state. Nobody likes that his clothes must be dirty. He doesn't like that his home must be dirty. If somebody has to come to this masjid now, and he comes in a state where there's all kinds of stains on his clothes, and there's the filthy smell of urine and stool also coming from his clothes, and his clothes are soiled, or their perspiration has been absorbed so much that you cannot even stand next to the person, then would we tolerate that person in the masjid? So just as all of us have come with some such clean clothes, we had a bath in the morning, we wore pure, good, clean, park clothes and came to the masjid, and especially if it's a nikah occasion, so many must have bought new clothes. So just as we are concerned that our zahir, our outward must be clean, in the same way we must not come to the masjids, or we must not go to any majlis or any mahfil, or even in our homes we must not stay, and we must not travel with the dirty, filthy hearts, because we cannot see that, but the angels of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself, he can see what a filthy and a dirty state this person's heart is in. So the purification of that heart is also required. So therefore that purification of that heart will come through tawbah. The purification of that heart will come through tawbah, sincere tawbah. That if the person is owing anybody money, then he makes sincere tawbah that I'm going to start paying. If he's missed his namazes, he starts making qaza. If there's rights of others which he has trampled upon, then he tries to repay. So عَجَّلُوا بِالتَّوْبَةِ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ. He must shed tears of repentance. These are very beautiful tears. We cry over everything else, and it is permissible to cry. It's not haram to cry. If somebody dies in the family, you cry, it's permissible. If a person loses his wealth, he loses his family, he loses his property, it's permissible to shed some tears. It's not haram. But just as we shed our tears for so many other things, then which day will come in our lives when we cry before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in seclusion? Mera har khata pe rona, yahi hai meri talafi. Mera har khata pe rona, yahi hai meri talafi. Teri rahmato ka sadqa, mera jurm afwa karna. O my beloved Allah, what else can I present before you except my tears of repentance and remorse? Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in the night of Mi'raj. He sees Hazrat Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam has got a container which is filled with some liquid. He asks Hazrat Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam that what is it that you have in this container? He said, in this container I have the tears of the ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, oh Jibreel, inform me that what will these tears do? These tears that you have got in this container, what will they do? He says, if I have to pour them over the fire of Jahannam, it will extinguish that fire. So if it can extinguish the fire of Jahannam, will it not extinguish that fire of passion which is burning in our hearts? Evil passions and desires which have lit up our hearts and is burning them. So will these tears of repentance not extinguish those fires? And the fires of fights and quarrels and arguments and disputes and all these type of things. So he says, rush with tawbah before your mouth comes. Brothers, today is a public holiday, we'll be taking 5 minutes more than the normal time. Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said that if the janazah is ready, then don't delay the burial of the deceased. Unnecessarily don't make those women sit for 24 hours with the janazah. Just because one person is coming from Timbuktu or from Holland or America, now 24 hours they are sitting. Consider all the rest of the people that have already come, or they are nearby, or those women folk who are going through torture, making them sit for 24 hours at the side of the body. The men folk will be outside gossiping away, or they will be somewhere else in the businesses, and we are making them sit for so long periods of time. If there is a valid reason, it's understandable. I mentioned in one of my majlises as a shukr, as a ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that when my father passed away, it was Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's fazal and ihsan only. He passed away about 11 o'clock and about 2:30 or 3 o'clock we had him buried. My mother also, it was within 4 hours that the ghusl, mayit, janaza, kafan, dafan and burial and everything was over in 4 hours. So that is the normal period of time that is required. But if it is raining or if there are other formalities or there's a post-mortem and other things, then it's understandable. If not, then inform those parties, tell them that look, you make dua from there and over the weekend when you get an opportunity, then you come down. Don't even dash down from Johannesburg and other places, it could cause accidents. And what are you going to do if you're going to come and we are just waiting for you? What will you do? You will just arrive, one glance at the mayat, and we will take the body away. What is the benefit? And then look at all the preparations that then have to be made. You have to put up a tent straight away. Why? Because people are going to now have a feast. The person passed away, the family is in grief, and we are enjoying a feast there. And the giggling and the shouting. And that one person says, Maulana, I shouldn't understand before, but when it happened to my own mother, when she passed away and when the people were eating, that one brother shouts from there, bring the sinkers, bring the sinkers. In the doll, he wasn't finding enough meat, so he said, bring the sinkers. Now in that mayat, he is interested in the sinkers. He should rather go to the beachfront or to the beach side with a fishing rod with some sinkers and catch some fish there. Whereas what we should have been doing is that we should be taking a few people home and giving them some food to eat on that day, and not that put that burden also on that family. Where are we going to cry? Oont re oont teri konsi kal sidi. Somebody said, oh camel, which part of your body is straight? Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if the right match is found for your daughter, then don't delay her marriage. And the last thing that he gave nasihat, that if you are owing somebody money, then don't delay the payment of that qarz. Matlul ghaniyya haramun zulmun. The delay in payment of a loan or a debt that the person has incurred, and the person is ghani, he's got the money. It's not that he's poor or it is beyond his means. He's got so much of surplus assets. He's got properties, he's got timeshares, he's got Krugerrands, he's got gold and silver stocked up somewhere, and he's got shares in all the different markets of the world. But here he is making one small person suffer for payment of his debts. So we will get away here, but we can't get away there. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us, Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and then don't delay that. So this marriage is a means of protection. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, by means of this marriage, if the person is sincere that his only niyat is that he wants to safeguard himself from zina, then Allah ta'ala also makes him ghani. One of those three people that have been mentioned in the hadith and other places, other things have been mentioned, whom Allah ta'ala takes upon himself that I will assist that person. And wallah, I'm telling you, there are so many cases that I know personally of young people whom I encouraged to get married. They were earning a reasonable amount. Of course, we can't just give our daughters away to somebody that is just walking the streets. He's just walking the streets and he comes and he says, no, well, I want to get married and after that I'll look for a job. Then we're not saying just give the daughter away there. But these people were earning just hand to mouth. They had sufficient amount to get married. And after they got married for one reason only, and that was to protect themselves from engaging in zina, in fornication, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opened the doors and people saw within a short period of time how the person suddenly has a car to, a house to, a good salary to, and his earnings also increased and multiplied. So Allah ta'ala has taken it upon himself that, oh you young people, if you don't have the ability to marry, get married. Why? Because Allah ta'ala will assist you. He will help you. Because now the concern will also come that I have to feed the family also. So the person will look for job and Allah Ta'ala will open the avenues. Allah is the one who provides risk and sustenance. So the person should get married with that niyat only. And he wants good and pious children to come into this world to increase the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. When the person will get married with that intention, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give him barakat. Allah Ta'ala will assist him and help him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that person, regarding the weighing of the deeds on the day of Qiyamah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that deed will be very weighty on the scale on the day of Qiyamah. Whose deed? That person who is going out into the bazaars and he is working hard to earn a living so that he may provide halal risk and sustenance for his family and his children. So this person, the effort that he is making to earn halal and provide for them, He has to get up early in the morning, and he's got to take the swearing, and he's got to listen to everybody, and then he has to take all the hardships, and somehow he brings some halal food and gives it to the children. This is such a weighty deed that on the day of Qiyamah it will weigh heavily on the scale. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this person is, in another hadith, that he is in the path of Allah Ta'ala. This is also a path of Allah Ta'ala. So there are so many virtues. We don't have the time to go into all those details, but we were discussing zina. So there I conclude on one incident, that we have to be extremely careful in these days. My dear young friends, be very, very careful. What? Don't take it as a joke. Indulgence in zina is not a joke. Besides whatever we are listening with regards to AIDS and all the other problems, those people who are visiting the prostitute, there are so many young people who are caught up with AIDS. But besides that, also deaths are very, very uncertain these days. The person just does not know who will drug him and put him to death. The person doesn't know who he is visiting. He just picks up the newspaper, reads the escort agency columns, and then he ends up in one of those places, and then we know what is happening in those places. How embarrassing, how shameful, how humiliating and disgraceful it will be for the Muslim Ummah and community. And it has already happened many times. It has happened many times. But let us take it that how embarrassing and humiliating, disgraceful it would be for ourselves, for our families, and for the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if the newspaper has to report that a young person who had a Muslim name, he had to die in such a place. And then the shootings and killings and murders and all that, we all know what is happening. So we don't know when our death will come, where it will come, and how it will come. So take that little pain and restrain yourself and see what sukoon and peace and comfort Allah will give into the heart. Read the large number of letters, without the names, I don't give those names. Large number of letters of young people, many of them who are sitting here in this audience too. Ask them when they gave up the sins, when they gave up the haram, and when they came onto the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and when they came closer to Allah, and when they shunned all those evils, what kind of life they are enjoying now. What kind of peace and happiness Allah Ta'ala has given to them. So if we don't fear anything else, at least fear that we do not know what will happen if our heart stops beating in such a haram place. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you and the entire Ummah the tawfiq to make amal. May Allah Ta'ala bless all these marriages with barakat. May Allah unite their hearts with love and affection for each other. May Allah Ta'ala make it the means of good and pious children coming into this world. And may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless them with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.